Chats from the Blog Cabin.
This is your favorite time of the week with your number one podcast.
Hey y'all, it's Melissa. I am coming to you from the Blog Cabin, of course, always where I'm coming from. But I just recorded an episode that I really think that I literally have never wanted someone to come back on and chat multiple times than I have these two ladies. Joy and Laura have such great stories to tell, but they also have some helpful tips for not only women, but for everybody about safety, about being safe. I think in this day and age, we have this invincibility complex, which I talk about in the Blog Cabin, on this podcast at the end, where you don't really, you think it's not going to happen to you, and it does. And I will tell you this, I am 100%, I didn't tell the story while they were chatting because I felt like it took time away from this really important message they were giving. So I figured I'd do it in my promo or in the beginning. When a couple of years ago, when I was walking a lot, walking almost every day, I would kind of differentiate where I walk at. And always where I walked at, I was always, because I'm a child of a cop, I would always make sure to be aware of my surroundings. And one of the things that I do is I kind of watch and look and see the cars, and I tend not to walk by myself. There was times I had to. I walked in broad daylight. I walked where it was populated. Like, there was one place I used to walk, but I walked with a friend, and it was in the kind of wooded path, but it was our greenway. I don't do that when I'm by myself, because there's not many ways out except going through the woods, and you don't know what you're going to encounter in the woods. But this particular day, I actually wrote about it on the blog. I was walking in the town that my dad was the chief police at the time. He was the chief police in this town. So this was a town that I feel very, very safe in. 100% safe. And it's a small town. It's literally right next to town hall in this little park. And I was walking. They have a walking path. And I had noticed a couple of days before, there was always this car there when I pulled up, but the person never got out of the car, never did anything. I didn't think anything about it because there were a lot of people there. So I'm like, you know what? There's a lot of people out here. It's not a big deal. Maybe they're just meeting someone or something. So I was like, okay, but I was observant every time I came into the park to look for this car. Well, one day I drove in the park, and I'm telling you, the park is like on Main Street, almost off everything, but you can never be too safe. And I got out of my car and I started walking, but instead of walking the one way that I normally walk, I took off walking the other way. And I noticed when I got about, I crossed the field, like a football field, from where my car was parked, I noticed the person was like parked in front of my car, not parked beside, not parked across from it, but literally in the parking lot with the engine running in front of my car. And I'm thinking, okay, this does not look right. My, as I say, spotty senses went up. And so I decided, okay, I am going to continue watching. So I started watching, and I guess they saw me stop and look over, and they moved the car. They started driving their car away. Well, I kept my eye on this car as I was walking, and I noticed in the park there was pathways that you had to cross over where you're crossing over the roadway. And I noticed that car, if I had continued walking the way I was walking, was parked near where I would have to cross over the road. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not getting my walk in today. It's not happening. So what I immediately did was I got on the speakerphone and was talking to my husband. I called my husband. I'm like, I know you're busy. I know you're at work, but hey, can you just stay on speaker for me, and I can try to get back to my car. I said, there's nobody here. This car is creeping me out. Just stay on the speaker with me. So they knew that, and I hit speaker, so they knew I was talking to somebody. And so I walked, and I turned around and walked back, and I was walking on the speaker, and I was talking, and you can hear my husband's voice. He's fairly loud. And I was like, keep walking with me, keep talking to me. And I get to my car and I unlock my car and I get in my car and I lock it immediately. And I noticed, because this particular car, and it could have been anything, but I just noticed it just was weird to me. I noticed that this car had parked over by the church, which is where I had originally came in. The road that I originally came in on. And I'm like, you know what? I am not going to park by the church today. I'm not going to go out the same way I went. I left. I came in. I'm going to leave a different way. And I'm going to go home a totally different way than I normally would. And so I got in the car and he was talking to me. My husband was still talking to me because it went back on Bluetooth. And I went out totally the different way, went out a different way, went home, went through, did not go the back way. It's like, the shorter cut to my house, went the long way to my house, and luckily, and I got in my house and I immediately locked the door. I mean, I was that scared. It was a lot for me. And it took a lot for me to go back to that park, because that park was part of where I felt safe. It was where my dad was a police officer at. It was where he was a cop at. And I was just like, you know, he's chief of police of this town. He was on the town board when he died. This should not be happening. And someone should not have to walk by themselves and be scared and be afraid of something bad's going to happen to me. So that's my story. I really hope you enjoy and you learn from Laura and Joy. This book is mind-boggling of some of the things that I admit that I do. Like, I call myself out on it and a lot of this stuff. But I'm learning now that I'm not going to do this because it's not going to happen. I'm going to be safe. So with that said, guys, I hope you really enjoy this episode, and I'm sorry for a long intro, but I had to get my story out. Are you ready for an exciting adventure in the world of do-it-yourself project? Join me on market.live and get ready to be inspired by the DIY show hosted by yours truly, Melissa from Chats in the Block Cabin. This is your chance to unlock your creativity and bring your imagination to life. Imagine the satisfaction of transforming ordinary objects into something extraordinary. Get ready to learn new skills and discover how easy it can be to create something unique that reflects your own personal style. The DIY Show is here to guide you with every step of the way, providing you with tips, tricks, and ideas that will make your projects a success. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity. Grab your friends, family, or even your furry companions and tune into the DIY Show on market.live on Mondays at noon Eastern Standard Time, or you can catch the replay. Together, let's unleash our inner artist and embark on a journey filled with joy, inspiration, and endless possibilities. Get ready for a show like no other, where creativity knows no bounds. See you there.
Come join Melissa and her guests on the Chats from the Block Cabin podcast. From North Carolina, this podcast will have you feeling like you've known these folks for years. Listen in as they chat about life, culture, current events, and more, all with a special Southern flair. Curl up with your favorite beverage and get ready to be entertained. Tune in now for a unique experience that's fun and insightful.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Chats from the Block Cabin. You know, the show I virtually invite people into the blog cabin to chat about life. And today I'm very extremely honored. I don't think I told you this, Laura, but my dad was also military. He was in the Marine Corps. So I like two of my favorite kinds of people are on today. One is a veteran and the other one's a police officer. So Joy and Laura are here and we're going to talk about street smart safety for women, especially during the holidays. So before we get into that, tell us who you are.
Hi, I'm Joy Farrell. I am a retired deputy sheriff, 28 years on the street in South Florida. I started with the city of Pompano Beach and morphed into the Broward Sheriff's Office, where I handled every call imaginable. And the last big call was the shooting at the Fort Lauderdale airport, an active shooter. And that was a lot. And I retired 6 months after that. So 28 years, I finished with that. And decided to write a book, Street Smart Safety for Women.
And I'm Laura Frombach, and I am a veteran, as you mentioned, Melissa, and I spent my time in the Army, and I worked on Pershing nuclear missiles, which gave me my start into the world of technology, and that's where I spent my career. In the world of big tech, working for big companies, and I had a front row seat to really the technology revolution. And we never, ever thought it was going to be anything like this, let me tell you that. The other thing is, I have a background in family violence. I grew up with family violence. My father was a generational domestic abuser. It impacted both my parents. And family violence was as far in my family as you can see. And I actually grew up thinking that violence was normal. And as an adult, I've come to understand that it's not. And that's one of the messages I want to get across, is that for people impacted by family violence, is that it's not normal. And, you know, there is another way.
That is so true. And I applaud you both for coming out and for writing the book. I told you before, I haven't finished it because there's a lot of heavy stuff in your book, but the stories in the book and the things that, even though I'm a daughter of a cop, and I've been a daughter of a cop my whole life. Before that, my dad was in the Marine Corps. So you would hear things like this, but some of the things that you guys talked about, I would never have thought about as far as personal safety goes. So you mentioned, Joy, at the very beginning about the mass shooting. What can we do? Because that's important. Those tips that you gave in this book, both you and Laura gave in this book. Ooh, I'm getting you guys confused. Gave in this book were amazing tips that I would have not even thought about. Because your first thought is flight. You want to fly. You want to just get out. But that's not what you're telling us to do in the book.
Right. Sometimes you can't. And maybe it's not possible because the shooter is in front of you and you can't pass the shooter even though the door is behind him, which in this particular case it was. And it was in baggage claim, and the passengers had just come down the escalator to baggage claim where the shooter was on a flight. Collected his weapon from the airline, went into the bathroom, loaded it, and then he came into baggage claim and just began shooting aimlessly. And what people did quickly, because it was a small area, it was long, but narrow. And there was no way for the passengers to run past him as he was walking past them. So either they were on his right or his left. So what they did was try and find a place quickly, low to the ground, and they hid behind baggage carts and on the other side of the baggage machine. So they did what they could to make themselves small, which is all you can do, and cover your head, be low to the ground, do what you can quickly in that type of scenario.
The other thing that we talk about, as you mentioned in our book, Melissa, is that Joy came up with a four-part process to follow, really, and it's called BARC. Breathe, assess, respond, and call 911. So sometimes, as you talked about, somebody's first response is to call 911. But when you are in a panic, and this has to do really with any sudden situation, your heartbeat can go up to 180 beats per minute. And at that point, really your body is in overdrive. And so your vision's going to narrow into tunnel vision. Right. You won't be able to see, you won't be able to think. So we talk about, and this has helped me to recover from domestic violence, is the four-part breathing. It's Lamaze breathing, it's yoga breathing, it's to the beat of four. inhale four, hold four, exhale four, hold four, and start it again. And what that does is that you voluntarily slow your heart rate down through your breathing. And at that point, once you've slowed yourself down a little bit, then you can assess what's going on. You know, where's the shooter? Where's the emergency? Then you can respond. Should I retreat? Should I, if you're in a mall, can you go out through a side door? And then call 911. Mm-hmm. And Joy, you can probably talk about, don't be afraid to call 911.
Right. Absolutely. So even if you're in this situation, of course, you want to alert 911 and you want to hide wherever you can. And of course, if you can leave the building, that's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But again, be sure that that's something that you can do without crossing a shooter. If, you know, if it sounds like it's further away and you can make it out the door, that's the first thing you want to do. If you have to leave packages behind, grab whoever you're with and run. And that's the best thing. And then you can call 911, you know, from a different spot. If you need to call 911 from a hiding spot, you want to at least give them and stay on the line as much information as you can, because you may be their first call. A lot of times people think somebody else is calling, somebody heard it. Well, maybe people didn't call yet. A lot of times people don't realize what that sound is, or there's a lot of noise, and maybe, you know, they tend to think it's something else, and they, well, somebody will call. If it was something important, a siren would go off. Somebody would alert some, you know, but you never know. So it's always better to call 911. Say, I heard a sound. It sounds like gunfire. People are screaming. I don't know what's going on. At least get it out there.
Also, one more thing is the recent shooting in Maine. You just talked about a couple days ago, right. That one of the potential victims ran down the alley of the bowling alley and hid behind the pins.
So there's the perfect in the scheme of being scared and everybody is running. So instead of running out the front door, which wasn't an option, he slid down the alley and hid behind the pins. That was genius. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are just things, whether you have to jump behind a counter, you know, these are things and they're not going to be ordinary places. So it doesn't matter, but it's quickly. And that's what you want to think of, something out of the box, whether it's get down behind chairs, get down low, is, you know, you want to get out of the sight of whatever is shooting.
And one thing that comes to mind for me is that we put this in this book, not just to talk about Joy's experiences and to give people a pattern to follow, but if you preload your brain with this information, when something happens, your brain won't freeze. You won't panic. You'll say, oh, I read about this. I heard about that. Then you know what to do, because if your brain doesn't know what to do, then that's when you're in a bad situation.
Right. So that's one of our other things, preloading your brain wherever you go. So you've been to your favorite mall a million times, but you know what you don't think is, what if I'm in the food court? Where's that exit to get out? But when you're panicked and you can't even remember your own name, you're not going to remember. Everybody's going to be running a different way. And you're not sure, should I follow them? But if you checked it out beforehand, when you go to the mall on a good day, then just look around quickly and go, I always shop down in this area. Sometimes I go to the food court. Look and see where, quickly down the mall, where are the exits? Because if you hear noise coming from one end of the mall, at least you know, oh, I can go out through the food court. I know where that is. So at least it's in the back of your mind, or you could take people with you. I know where the exit is. We can go this way. Let's hide over here. So at least you'll feel comfortable and you know, in a stressful situation, you'll be able to hopefully get out unscathed, take people with you.
Yeah, I love that, because you also said practice calling 911. No, obviously you're not going to be calling them, and they're getting a lot of calls, but you're talking about getting that preloaded in your brain so you know when emergency happens, you know to call 911.
Right. And even on your phone, you know, to learn, there's a lot of things on these new phones, you know, now quickly. How can I call 911 without having to put the passcode in? And what do I have to do? You press the buttons on the side. It comes up. It can go automatically to your contacts. It, you know, it shows you on there in steps, you know, how you call SOS on there, which is 911. But at least it's in your mind. You know, you go, oh, I know, I've done this before, I pressed it. And if you do it at home and you press the sides of it and you see it comes up like you're going to shut your phone off, that's where it is. But at least it's in your head, not when you're panicking going, you may forget how to even put your passcode in. And that happens. It's not your fault. And you're like, what is my number? You are going to panic. I mean, I've worked in the job for nearly 30 years, and it's a lot of stress, you know, for us going to these calls, and there's so much to remember and so much you have to do. And, you know, you're trying to juggle all these things, and it's stressful. And, you know, you're hoping to not remember, you know, remember everything in the right order also.
Mm-hmm. So
the other thing to remember also is if you're in a bad situation and you can't talk because you don't want to draw attention to yourself, you can text 911.
See, I did not know that. I learned that from your book. I did not know you could text 911.
Right. So that's helpful in case somebody is nearby. Because a lot of times when you're panicked, you talk loud. And you don't think that the dispatchers are sending somebody. So a lot of times when I was working, people thought that I was the person on the phone. I said, no, they send us. When you call in, they are taking the information. If you were on the phone with them for an hour, they are still sending people. They're on another line. They're sending messages to officers, rescue. They're just asking you questions so they know how many people. Is it a hostage situation? More people, sending more people. That's why they never want you to hang up. Oh, the police, you still don't have to hang up until they feel and you feel that you're absolutely comfortable. And the police are there, the rescue's there. So don't hang up when you're in the process of calling 911, unless, of course, somebody's coming your way and you can't talk. But stay on the line all the time.
And you made a good point about that, too, because sometimes the people that are involved in these shootings come in dressed like, and you even say not even in the shootings, but even going to your houses and things like that, dressed like the person that there's like dressed like a police officer. And you just, oh, it's a police officer. I'm going to hang up now. But it's not really.
Right. And you will know when the police are there. They will announce themselves with multiple people. You can hear the radio going. It's going to be different than one person saying, I'm here. You can come out now. It's not what the police would do. So be careful. You don't have to show your position. But you can tell 911 now, just so 911 is aware that you're hiding in a closet. I'm with friends, you know. So the more in a stressful situation or shooting or whatever's happening, an emergency situation, you want to let them know as much as possible because you may be the savior of everybody.
Wow. That's a lot, a heavy load on people. We need to go to a brief commercial break, but we'll be right back.
People welcomed me and they knew the pain of the journey that we'd been on because they'd been there too.
Other Parents Like Me is an online community, peer-led, for parents with kids struggling with mental health and or substances.
It's a space that's safe, because like I can actually share what's going on.
We offer 15 daily support groups per week and live speaker talks on Thursdays, as well as a monthly expert panel.
We also have a resource hub that has a toolkit. This includes over 1,000 articles, podcasts. There's a glossary with the most recent and relevant terms. And we have a directory that's been vetted.
The overwhelming feeling when we're sitting in a meeting and I'm telling my story and I see others shaking their head, tears falling. You know, they understand this roller coaster and they're along for the ride.
And we are back with Joy and Laura, and we're talking about Street Smart Safety for Women, the book that you guys collaborated together on. Mm-hmm. And let's talk, I know we talked about mass shootings before we went into the commercial, but let's talk about, since holidays are coming up, mm-hmm. and I'm guilty of one of the things that you wrote about in the book, about getting in your car and looking at your phone and forgetting about, like, locking your doors. I'm so guilty of that. And I was like, oh, they stepped all over my toes for that. But let's talk about some of the tips that you give for women for mm-hmm. like when they're out shopping.
One of my main tips, we have five that we're going to go into, but one of my main ones is, Maine, you talked about getting to the car. Is so, of course, you're going to be carrying packages and you may be a little overloaded. On the way to your car, you do want to use your peripheral vision and, you know, keep an eye around you, because during the holiday times, people are out there in the parking lots. They're looking for money. They're looking for somebody that might have more than they do and want what you have. So, you know, when you're walking with packages or you're just heading to your car and you have so much on your head, you just have to look and see who's around you, who is parked near you. Is there a car running? Is somebody lingering around? Is somebody trying to get your attention? Excuse me, miss, which happens to me all the time. And I'm not going to stop. And I'm not going to talk to them. So usually I look to see how close they are, what they look like, and I'm going to wave them off and I'm going to keep going. What I carry is my self-defense tools. So I carry a pepper spray all the time. I attach it to my purse. I have a couple. So I carry it in the front and the back. So it's very easy, and they come in a lot of different sizes and colors and slim, and it's just very easy. So you don't even have to look. So if you carry it on the outside of your purse, and it even has an area for you to hold with your hand, you just slip your finger under it and press the button. Stick your hand straight out, and then you're going to shoot pepper spray at them probably from about 6 to 8 feet. And it's going to disarm them, because they're going to put their hands up over their face and they're going to have trouble breathing. Now, of course, this is if somebody doesn't listen to you and mm-hmm. continues to get closer after you've said, no, thanks. Stay away. Then you can deploy the spray. Of course, you know, you have to realize what situation you're in before you just mm-hmm. spray away. But it is good to carry your spray on the outside, and that's one. Once you get to your car, you want to get in, lock the doors, put your packages away, make sure that your purse isn't on the seat right next to the passenger window, because that only takes a second at a stoplight also for someone to smash a window and grab your mm-hmm. bag. And what are you going to do? You're about to drive away, and they know that. So keep it on the floor, keep it either behind you, attach it to something in your car, but don't set it straight up so people pull it up next to you can just look in and see what you have. I also don't open my car window to talk to mm-hmm. a stranger. So that's what they want you to do, and that's the one thing you don't want to do. You can talk through the window. It may sound rude. It may be hard to do because, well, you're just so conditioned. Oh, somebody's waving me and wants to talk to me. Let me just put the window down. But once you put the window down, they could be half in the car, mm-hmm. with the knife, with spray, grab you by the throat. I mean, it just goes on. Don't put the window up. And it's tough. And if they do hold up a weapon, you should have the car started and just back that car right out, go forward over a bumper, you know, in a parking lot, that car can take it and keep going. So you don't have to sit there. The 4,000 pound car, use it. The other, right? The other tools I carry are a tactical pen. So it's a regular ballpoint pen. It's made of steel, and at one end is the glass breakage pen. Mm-hmm. So great, should anything happen in your car where you can't get out and you need to break a window, you just hold it and pop it against the glass and the window will break, which is great. And also, should somebody grab you, this is great. It can clip onto your pants. It can clip onto your purse or, you know, backpack. And if anybody grabbed you by the arm, you can just jab them with this and they will let go. It'll give them something to think about there. Very good. It's a very good tool and it's not going to break in your hands. The last one is for day or night. It's a little metal flashlight. It's about 5 inches long. And it pretty much fits in the palm of your hand. And it's good to use for a predator during the day or at night. You just flash that light in their arm, in their eyes, and it can distract them, mm-hmm. which is all you need momentarily to get away. And it's helpful.
The other thing that we like to mention to women, particularly women, during the holidays, mm-hmm. is that holidays brings out predators. And so more strangers, as Joy mentioned, could be approaching. They could approach you on foot. They could approach you while you're in your car. They could even approach you in your home. But the primary thing for you to remember is now you have your brain primed, and that if somebody comes up to you and starts to engage you in conversation, they want something. And so as women are conditioned to, we're empathetic, we're nice. Joy and I are both really, really nice people. But if somebody comes up to you and wants something, and as Joy said, excuse me, miss, is their favorite refrain, what is it that they're looking for? And you want to think that through. What do they want? And is it in your best interest? Because as soon as they stop and engage you in conversation, now your attention is diverted and they could have an accomplice that, you know, is a pickpocket. They may want to grab you, as Joy mentioned, you know, and pull you someplace. And whatever it is, you just keep walking, you know, no thank you, no thank you. And you keep going about your business. If somebody needs help, you can call 911. We all have cell phones now. But it's important to remember they have a cell phone too. So why are they engaging a stranger? And, you know, as we like to say, men rarely ask women for anything. I mean, they won't even take directions. Yes. So if a man comes up to you and they're saying, excuse me, miss, can you help me? What is it that they really want? And because there's really not much that you can do for them.
Right. And I'm going to piggyback on that just a little bit, because one of the things that my dad drilled into me, this was before we had all this technology and all these other things, is always have your keys out when you're ready to walk out somewhere. Like when you're walking in the parking lot, go ahead and be prepared. I don't know how many times I have three daughters and they're 28, 25 and 21. And I don't know how many times I yell at them. I literally have your keys out before you get to the car. I don't understand why you want to go searching in your purse. Have them out and have them. Well, nowadays, most of the keys don't have keys, but they have a keychain that's kind of like a stick or something, and have it primed in your fingers. So that way, if somebody does come up, if you don't have the other stuff, at least you've got your keys to protect you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now you have, you know, the fob. Uh-huh. If you keep the fob, you know, close to you, you know, you can get in the car, you know, but it's good to have, like you're saying, it's good to have and to know, hey, if somebody comes up to you, what kind of conversation are we going to have? Especially if they come up to you, which is good to keep in your head for young daughters or anybody, is if they're going to come up to you by your car, and this is where people can get carjacked, is what is the conversation we're going to have? Oh, excuse me, miss, what? What am I going to have for dinner? Where are you going later? What is the question? So, you know, now you're close to your car or you're just getting in your car. That's the point where they tend to carjack you. Mm-hmm. So that's your vulnerable spot. Is as soon as you open the car door, it's easier to kidnap someone, to get something out of them. Once you've opened the door, it's easy to push somebody in, then drag somebody down, you know, the aisle of a supermarket, you know, outside. But, you know, those are things. So before I get in my car, I look back just to see, is anybody crept up on me? Because sometimes you can't hear, it's noisy outside and whatever, there's music, things, you know, maybe you were even on the phone and somebody's walking and you didn't even realize. How many times has that ever happened? You're out and around, you're like, whoa, I didn't realize somebody was right behind me. So those are things, you know, but predators have already planned that out. They're looking for the distracted people and, you know, it's nothing new, but it happens over and over again, unfortunately, and people have gotten more violent. So, you know, some other things that we were talking for shopping safety was also, you know, there's going to be a time, of course, when you're needing to go to the bank. Mm-hmm. So prepare ahead of time. We had a friend in a situation, right?
She was walking out of the bank. And a young man just came up to her and said, excuse me, miss. Hey, how you doing? And she thought that he knew her. And so she smiled and walked toward him. And he knocked her down and grabbed her purse. You know, he knew she had just come out of the bank. And, you know, she was knocked on the ground. She was stunned because she was expecting to have a conversation. There's a term that's going around and it's called jugging. And jugging means that people stalk the bank. They see people, particularly women, coming out. They follow you to a secondary location. So let's say you came out of the bank, you got your money for holiday shopping. If that's what you're doing, maybe you're paying with cash. A lot of people do. And then you go to the gas station down the street. They follow you to the gas station and take your money there. So it's important to, again, be aware of your surroundings. And what we call being aware of your surroundings is your safety intuition. And safety intuition isn't anything magical. It's not anything woo-woo. It's really your five senses that human beings have always had, your sight, your hearing, everything reporting back to you. But we call it safety intuition because women, because we're empathetic, tend to minimize it. So if we get a bad feeling about somebody, we'll just dismiss it even to ourselves. And we say, oh, I'm just being silly. And the truth of the matter is you're not being silly because your five senses can pick up all kinds of information from your surroundings that your conscious mind can't process. So we want women to be mindful of what they're receiving, you know, the information that they're receiving from people. And we want them to honor it. We want them to pay attention to it and to realize that your body is trying to protect you from danger and, you know, really, again, honor that process.
Mm-hmm. So the little things to think about that when you're in a hurry during the holiday time, oh, I got to run to the bank, get money. And I got so many things. I got to, you know, cook and do this and everything later. just remember that there are people out there that their life's work is to be a criminal. Mm-hmm. And they don't care if you get hurt. They don't care what happens. They're in it for the car, the money, whatever they could get out of it, or the person. So everybody, every criminal has a different motive. They're not all the same. And, you know, unfortunately, you don't know which one you may encounter. So we'll take, if you're going to the bank, you know you're going to the bank, have your card out ready. Before you, if you're walking to the outside ATM during the day, or, you know, if you're going to go at night, it's almost easier to see if it's at a bank at night. Mm-hmm. You know, especially at night, if you're going to go to one of those places, make sure that it's lit up and there isn't any place where somebody can hang around or park on the side or something. But a lot of these juggings happen during the day, and a lot of crime happens during the day. So don't be fooled thinking, oh, it wouldn't happen. Our friend happened in the bank parking lot. So she had just left and she's a few feet out of the bank door, and it was right there. But so, you know, if you see somebody sitting in a car and they're facing the bank, maybe you don't need the money right now. Or, you know, even if you go through the drive-thru, which is important to pay attention to, also a lot of people don't, is pay attention to what car just pulled up behind you before you're going to stick your card in there and reach out to get the money. What car pulled up behind you? And if you don't feel comfortable, you don't have to explain anything. Just drive off and drive back around in a minute and see if that car leaves. You know, so it's just little things to keep you safe and, you know, just be aware more of your surroundings.
Yeah, I do that trick of the, when I go to the bank through the teller, mm-hmm. I look to see what's behind me, and like, cause I guess it's because I'm a daughter of a cop and that's kind of been drilled into me.
It's good. Good for you.
Well, let's talk about what a typical criminal looks like, because in the book, mm-hmm. you raised a lot of things saying it's not who you think. It's not always right. the shady homeless person. It could be someone as right. charismatic as Ted Bundy, who you mentioned on the book as well. So let's talk about how our spotty senses should be like set off to know that that person is going to do ill to us.
Yes, there are a variety of criminal types. So they're from young people that may look personable, may look like a college kid, may come to the door. Oh, I wonder what he wants. You still don't or have she. To, right? Or she, we're, you know, right now, anybody's a criminal. So it's a criminal mind. But you still don't have to open your door just because the doorbell rings and somebody knocks. And that includes the packages that you know you're getting. You still don't have to open the door. So either you can talk through the,
what do you call it?
The ring? Yeah, you can, the you know, camera. If you have a ring camera or one of those cameras, you can actually, which is fabulous, you can talk through that. And they don't know if you're home or where you are. Oh, hey, what did you need? Can you leave that outside? Oh, I'm selling something. Okay, I'm busy right now. So I am very cautious of opening the door, because 99% of those crimes happen when the door is open and you've invited somebody in. So that's a problem. There you are by yourself. You know nothing about this person that's supposedly selling whatever they're selling or want to talk to you, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. And they've posed as police, they've posed as workers for a city, they've posed as religious people. The list goes on. It's whatever they think would work. So they look nice, they come across nice, male or female. Sometimes they'll come together. And that's, you know, too overwhelming for one person opening the door. So those are things to think about.
And the other thing to remember about predators is the worst weapon they have is not one that they're holding in their hand. The worst weapon they have is their mouth, because mm-hmm. they're charming, they're mm-hmm. persuasive, and sort of like our friend who lost her purse in the bank parking lot. Mm-hmm. You know, the person walked up to her, "Hey, how are you? Excuse me, miss." And she approached him thinking, "Oh, this person's going to be friendly." So the overly friendly, it doesn't matter what the person looks like, because predators and cons come in all shapes and sizes. If somebody is approaching you, if they call you, if whatever, they seem to be too something, too mm-hmm. friendly, too charming, too smiley. As you said, you know, if your spidey sense goes off, that person wants something. And, you know, especially as women, you know, we can be overpowered. So it's important to mm-hmm. not let them get too close to you. Mm-hmm. And as Joy said, you know, it's important to keep a barrier between yourself and people that you don't know, whether it's your car window, whether it's your door, whatever it is, but to keep yourself physically safe. And while you communicate with them, you can communicate with them through the window of your car. You don't have to roll it down. You can mm-hmm. talk through the window, and you can use, you know, an electronic device to talk to them at your front door. So the important thing is to remember that charisma and charm is the leading weapon of the con.
And talking about Ted Bundy, if some people may be unfamiliar, Ted Bundy, initially good looking, used his good looks and his idea of being a victim himself. So he used crutches at a time, his arm was in a sling, but he always had a sad story to go with it. But he only spoke to women. So, you know, again, there's that odd situation where, you know, the women thought about it, but he pressured them so much that they were like, all right, I'll help you. And that's why they gave in, because he was just being a problem to them. And they were like, all right. So they were too nice. And he was using his overly persuasive skills. But, you know, so that's what people can be. It's like, oh, he has a bad story. Well, you have to remember, especially as women, is that we're not the fix-it tool for everything. Oh,
we're not the world's Swiss Army knife.
Right. That's our line.
I love that.
Right. That's our line. As you know, if anybody calls you and they want money, or you know, you're dating someone that, oh, if only, you know what? Hey, there's a service that, let me look this up for you. There's a service that provides this, or you could go online. And so you don't have to be the one all the time to fix everybody's problem. And those are things where that's where we have to change women's mindset for conditioning. You just need to say, well, what if they needed help? Okay. Those are things that you have to determine quickly. Did somebody fall in front of you and maybe they need a tissue or something under mm-hmm. their head before rescue gets there? Okay. That's help. But when somebody is asking you, if I was wondering if my car is, and start going into something, long story that wants to get you into the parking lot, which sounds like, why would you? Well, it happens time and time again.
I'm going to go back to Ted Bundy for a second. Mm-hmm. As we mentioned, one of his big cons was being persuasive. He was persistent and he was persuasive. And one of the things we want women to do is be persuasion proof. And mm-hmm. when that pressure is increased, oh, come on, oh, please help me, oh, please, whatever, is we want you to be persuasion proof. Remember your safety, remember your best interest, and also think the situation through. You know, as we talked about before, what could be the ramifications of somebody asking you or pressuring you for something?
That is so true, because, you know, a lot of women will give up. They'll get frustrated and like, all right, whatever, I'll let me go with you. But, right.
But so we say that, and we have some close friends that they just say, I have just a problem saying no. And they've run into some situations that I said, we're writing a book, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to be in there. We're going to have to talk about it. But there's a part where you need to use boundaries. Mm-hmm. And say to yourself, I'm just going to keep using a little boundary until you make it bigger. So when you're in the food store and they say, oh, did you want to donate a dollar to? No. No, thank you.
It's good practice.
That's it. You don't need to tell them, well, why I can't. And no. So it's practice. Start small and then train yourself that the word no is all you need to say. And you don't need an explanation. People can handle no. Oh, they really don't care. They just want you to answer the question. That's mm-hmm. all.
Well, let's talk about locked doors, because I am guilty. I shouldn't be saying that.
No.
So are our neighbors.
And when I'm in the log cabin, because it's like 50 yards from my back door, I don't lock it because I go in and out. But let's talk. A lot of people don't lock their doors, and I just don't understand that at all, especially if they're home alone. I mean, luckily, when my mom, before she passed, she always had, even if her front door was open, she always had her screen door locked. So she always had that. And then she once my dad passed, she got one of those little things that she could stick up underneath the door as well at night, the door jammer. But it was like, Mom, what happens if we need to get in your house? Nobody could get in because it was, but it was so proof. I mean, because my daughters were small and one of them could have crawled in her window and gotten her window and unlocked the door if something had happened to her. But she, once she found that out, she's like, no, forget it. I'm fixing that window so you can't get in anymore. So let's talk about as far as being locked doors and being able to get in if something happens. You know, if somebody, if an emergency occurs, like my mom was living by herself and a family member needs to get into you instead of having the police, because unfortunately she's passed away. But the last time her, the police officer had to break her screen door to get into her house because she had fallen and broken her hip. And her neighbor had heard her calling and finally called the cops because she couldn't get near the phone. So what happens if, what is being too safe? And what is being safe enough? I mean, I don't think you can be too safe, but what is the fine line between that?
Right. I would say, and I have had to call rescue plenty of times when I was working because I couldn't get in somebody's front door. And a lot of our calls were, can you check on so-and-so? And either we'd have to break a window or, well, unfortunately, break the door with the fire department to get in because, like you're saying, somebody was in the back and a relative was just, I don't have a key. I'm not going to be able to get in either. So it is a good practice to either have the code to the door, have the code, give the code to even a close neighbor if that's what you could do. And it would really be very beneficial to them, even if they needed somebody to come over quickly. That wasn't the police, but maybe they just wanted somebody to come over. And this way they were in their room and they would just be able to come in through the garage or, you know, here's a key or, you know, we have a code on the door so you can keep changing that lock code. But I say, make sure the windows are secured and, you know, depending on what kind of area that you live in, you know, if somebody's able to park their car at night and creep around your yard in the back of the house and down the road, it takes nothing for somebody to break a window, pry it open. A lot of times they try doors. And you're giving them an in. People on our street leave their garage door open. you know, so that's a, that's too much of an opening. You know, if you could secure your home or your car in your garage, if you're going to leave your car out and you have an automatic garage door opener, you might not want to leave it out there. And I don't think people think of that sometimes. So your car could get broken into, and then they realize, oh, they have this. I can just get in the house now. So those are things. If you leave your car outside, which 95% of the people in our area do, because their garage is full, and that's fine. But if you leave your car outside, lock your car and don't leave anything with your name on in it. I know the police say your registration should be in there, and we only tell you that because you would leave it home. So leave it in the car. But really, I keep it in my wallet, and you can make a copy of it and, you know, put it in different places if you carry it. But this way, if your car gets broken into, nobody knows if it gets stolen. Nobody knows where you live or who it belongs to. So I don't leave any mail in there with your name on it, any keys to the extra keys to the house. You know, people don't realize that your car will get broken into over time. My car was broken into twice in a mall parking lot at different times. Mm-hmm. So it will happen. So you don't want to leave your purse in there. I don't leave my purse in there when I go pay for gas. Don't leave your car unlocked. Nobody outside of your family is your friends.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of predators
too.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. I say now, secure away.
Yeah. So now I didn't even hit on this to begin with, and I just thought about it. Is how did you guys get together and how did you decide to write the book? Because I think that's an interesting concept because you're coming from two different, well, similar but different backgrounds. So how did you, you know, how did that all start about?
Well, we've known each other forever, and it has always been Joy's dream and ultimately my dream to write about Joy's experiences as a deputy sheriff. And for me, when I came into the picture and my entree into it really was recognizing that my mother's mental illness had a direct correlation to domestic violence. And, you know, for many years, our family talked about this, what could have happened, because her family said that she wasn't always like that. And so we would sit there and wonder what could have happened, what could have happened. And it was many years since my mom had passed away. And I thought one more time, actually, just a few years ago, and I thought, I wonder if it could have been the violence. And it was like a wave hit me, and I thought, oh my gosh. And then my second thought was actually even worse, as distressing as that is, well, who can't take a punch? And so I realized, you know, that violence is not normal. And so Joy and I talked about it, and we recognized that our interests were complementary. And then I started observing, and I remembered the technology revolution and did some research into exactly how bad it is online, particularly with predators, you know, being aggressive against children. And, you know, what happens to these online mobs calling for violence against women? So we recognize that, you know, Joy's tips on physical safety and my background in family violence and technology, we really could help women, could help people, but particularly women with the mindset. Really, if our experience helps one person, then we've been a success.
Yeah, and I want to add something to this because you also wrote about this too. And when your editor sent me talking points, the trans women, let's talk about that, because that's another one that's it's very important for people to know that even though if they were born a male, but now they're a transgender or vice versa, that it's important to know that they're still, their lives are still as important as anybody else's. And that,
sure.
And that they, but they're the ones that are being targeted more, it seems like. So let's talk about how the ways they can protect themselves.
We believe that all women are at risk, mm-hmm. irrespective of their gender, that women are targeted. You know, it has been a statistic for decades that 1 in 3 women around the world will be sexually or physically attacked at least mm-hmm. once in their life. And those are horrific statistics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about online. That's terrible. And trans women are being targeted. Trans people are being targeted. And part of that, we believe, has to do with anybody, sad to say, who does not have the domination and control mindset that a lot of men have. And they really have a hard time accepting that.
So we say, you know, we're following the same guidelines as women. And I mean, that's what you're becoming. So we want you to know that, you know, as soon as you're stepping out of the bar, or your house, or the mall, or workplace, there are predators out there, and it's almost like a spotlight on women lately, and it's gotten worse over the years. So we've gone to so many conferences already on violence against women. So that's how pervasive it is.
Mm-hmm. And the tips that we talk about in our book and the information that we provide are helpful to everyone. And we talk about that in the beginning of the book, is that all are welcome. Our information will help everyone. But women who have been conditioned to be nice, to be acquiescent, if you will, we really spotlight that. However, we are aware that transgendered people are under attack, and they can use the information that we provide to protect and defend themselves as well.
And I love that. I love being all inclusive. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. our time is up. I can talk to you guys for hours. I think I'm going to invite you guys back on, because I think this is such an important topic that we need to talk about more. We need to talk about, because being a mom of 3 girls, I get it. I get, you know, it's different mm-hmm. than when I was growing up, and there's mm-hmm. more things out there, and they have this invincibility complex mm-hmm. that they think right. that yes. nothing's going to touch me. Nothing's going to happen to me. I'm like, you don't realize it. You may not mm-hmm. see it. Just like when they're driving, they're first starting driving. It's not that I'm worried about you in the car. I'm worried about the other drivers in the car, because there's other drivers nowadays. People don't know how to drive. Sorry, they don't.
Laura's been driving a long time, and that's exactly what I'll say. Hey, be careful out there. Yeah. You know.
Mm-hmm. See, but yes, I would love to have you guys back on, because
we would love that.
Yes, thank you so much.
We have plenty to talk about, and there are so many more topics.
Yes.
We'd love
that. So our time is almost up. So before we talk about where the people can find you at in the book, is there one last little nugget from both of you that if there's anything that if they do not take anything away from this particular episode, what was the one thing that you really hope that they took from this episode? Maybe it may not be something that you even mentioned. It's maybe something that you thought about and you didn't mention. So
I would say my big message to anyone is to listen to your safety intuition. Mm-hmm. Do not minimize it. Our bodies have been protecting us since the cave people days. And so when we use that societal conditioning to minimize ourselves, we are doing ourselves a grave disservice, and we're really putting ourselves at risk. So I would encourage you, really, to beg you to listen to your safety intuition, to listen to your bodily instincts warning you when you could be in danger.
And mine is, I am big on persuasion proof. Mm-hmm. So if you could work on your skills slowly and build yourself up, where you feel confident saying no and stick to it, you're really mm-hmm. going to feel empowered knowing mm-hmm. that that's all I had to say. And I feel good about it. I'm not buying that. I'm not talking to that person. I feel good. And I'm going to move through the world feeling stronger. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. Now let's talk about where people can find you if they want to get more information.
StreetSmartSafety.org is our website. And we also have a large Facebook community. That's where we direct most of our conversations, but we can be found on any social media platform, on Instagram, TikTok, certainly LinkedIn. But we would encourage people to focus on our website mm-hmm. and our contact information is there. And we also private message people on our Facebook page. We've talked to women through there mm-hmm. and, you know, advise them when they've been in danger.
And we answer questions on our website mm-hmm. also.
And that's the other topic that we just talked, that we didn't even hit on. We talked, you know, we talked about holiday because it's really big coming up, but right. being in a domestic abuse situation. And I think that's another topic that we definitely have to talk about.
Yeah.
And your book?
Street Smart Safety for Women.
Available wherever books are sold.
I just have the Amazon link up there because that's the easiest one for me to pull.
Thank you. Yes, it is.
And guys, I will include all this information as well as where you can contact Laura and Joy. I really honestly think that there's not enough conversations about safety, period, for anybody, because we all have this invincibility complex that nothing's going to happen to us. It's going to happen to the other person. I don't know how many times we've heard on the radio or seen on TV where you live next door to a serial killer. Oh, he was such a, and you mentioned it in your book, he was such a nice guy. I can't believe that's happened, you know? So yes. You never know who you're dealing with. And
right.
Laura and Joy, thank you so much for coming on and for sharing your stories, both of your stories, because I think both of your stories are very empowering. And to see how far you both have come, and to see how you're spreading that knowledge onto other people, and the way you did it in this book, it's just so great. And so it's entertaining, but it's informative. It's also very heavy. So you know, that's the reason why I haven't finished it yet, because yes. I'm like little by little by little chunks and I'm digesting what I'm right. hearing. I'm going, wait a second. I confessed in this podcast, I don't right. do this. I don't do that. I need to do this better. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you for having us. It was wonderful.
All right. Until next time, guys, keep chatting, be blessed. And I'm going to add another one. Stay safe. And you need to buy this book, because I'm honestly telling you, there's a lot of tips in there that you would not even think about. So until next time, bye.
Bye-bye.
Chats from the Blog Cabin.
Hit subscribe.
And don't miss the next episode.